I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode 14, coming to you live once again from the Quack Quack Compound.
The throwback episode.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Yahtzee.
I don't know.
Beth, my face is on fire.
Get it all in.
It's best of in 4 seconds.
There's so many. This is what
I love. Stay frosty. Get out of my house.
And we're out.
Good night.
This is that little moment right there. I imagine a lot of people, you know how like on private parts, they have those shots of, you know, people listening to Howard Stern or whatever. And like, you know, not that I'm saying we're like that. I'm saying that though, this is a moment that I imagine when you start rattling, shit, Yahtzee, you know, people are just like a tear rolls down their eyes. And they just,
well,
like,
you just see an Indian standing near, standing near a pile of microphones or an empty studio, just a Native American standing near an open mic and a tear just rolls down his face.
And then,
because as you've told the audience, we're very good.
We're very funny. Very good. And that there's like a, I wanted there to be like a, almost like a Chevrolet commercial, like knowing nod to somebody on a treadmill or something like, this feels like home. It feels right again. All is right in the world.
These jeans fit. These jeans fit.
A lot of minivan seats getting moist right now.
That's right.
That's
yes.
All right, ladies.
I know at least Oscar's already came twice. I think.
He's
in some kind of refractory period of some kind. Maybe twitching in the corner of some room. I don't know. So glad we're here. Now I don't know what to say.
No, it's great. I have to tell you that. Watching you walk into my house and set up the equipment and sitting here chatting with you, I don't miss this at all.
Not at all. Not one bit. Not one bit. All right.
I'm kidding, dude.
One of us sees this differently. I gotta be honest. This isn't how I thought this was gonna go.
I did that for a reaction, and you just didn't. You just didn't pay off my bet.
Dr. Malloy's taught me to hold a lot more in since we last talked, Bill, and I do like to like people that see me on the road or anything like that. They treat it like we broke up. Like,
yeah.
So have you talked to Bill?
Is he okay? Is he all right?
No. Well, I think it's more that they want to know if we're okay. Like,
I think
we
are.
When a couple breaks up.
I mean, obviously we see each other. We knew this would happen. We see each other a lot less.
Yeah.
I think we're fine.
Yeah.
We text.
We've chatted.
We try
via the text, but
it just proves that life is busy.
Oh my gosh.
Without this scheduled in.
Yeah.
So I, just like many of my other relationships since parenthood, I see you fly by Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
Occasional text.
Yes. I had a moment. This would be so much better if I could remember the act. But I had a moment where I was like, I bet Bill went through this at some point where it's like, so Jacob is in preschool to bring you up to.
I think that flew by on Twitter that you cried. We had a little exchange because you cried. Yeah.
Yes. So it's between, like, I feel like I'm getting more and more into your world now because Jacob is in preschool, which you send your child to preschool so that you can have a little bit of a break for yourself. Let's be honest. little, only one child to focus in on.
Sure.
Right.
And forget educating them or social interaction.
Yeah, that's like number 7
on the list. Down on the list.
Because what gets bumped above the list is evidently to strengthen his fucking immune system.
There we go. I told you about this.
Like, well, I knew this is one of those
Welcome to the Petri dish.
Holy shit. Like, I really feel...
Classrooms should just be shaped like that circular thing.
Yes.
With the little wax thing on the bottom. Like, classrooms should be decorated like a Petri dish.
Yes. The CDC should be in every preschool, everywhere. That's how they could catch all this avian bird flu shit.
Yeah.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. There's some kind of weird snot makeout that happens between a 2- and a 3-year-old somewhere, and then all of a sudden, boom, people are dying.
I cannot tell you how many times I would walk into Brady or Griffin's preschool. Brady's class I can't check because now he walks across the yard, but in Fun for Fours, I would look around the room and you'd see a sniffle and I would just eyeball that parent.
I see. I don't see any of these people.
Yeah.
But
oh, I see them. I saw them. And then 2 days later when it spread through my house, they were on my list.
Don't you? But here's the thing, too. I always wonder, like, what goes on in their house that people are so sick all the time? Like,
I think you hit on it. Nothing. It's that they're in school.
Yeah.
Once you enter the school community.
You think it's the school that carries the diseases
itself.
Well,
yeah. I mean, how can you not? It's just a mini. I mean, it's a mini.
Yeah.
A society. I mean, look at, I guess it happens less frequently in workplaces, but think about it in the workplace. It happens, I think, a lot. It happens less because we're adults. I mean, These are little bodies. It's going to travel pretty quick.
They're constantly rubbing arms on their noses and then touching each other. And...
Yeah. When your instinct as a being is to wipe your snot on your shirt, You're not into really preventative health care at your age.
Yeah, that's so
like weird. The thought of a 5-year-old is not like, oh, I should go wipe my nose with a Kleenex and wash my hands.
Yeah.
It's like, I got a booger. Here's my shirt.
This will work.
This is health care.
I'll put it in the same place I put toothpaste and extra PB&J. It's kind of my catch-all for everything. Yeah. It's my...
Like, and you know...
Yeah, cannot understand the concept
when they
of
come
a vampire
home,
cough.
When they come home and one side of their shirt is scrunched up and just caked in, like, baked on
Looks like
cement.
Paper mache.
Looks like, and you're like, what? What is wrong with... And then you... peel the booger encrusted shirt apart from itself.
Well, it's horrible time.
Welcome to preschool
for little Jack because he just got off breast milk. Now, breast milk, as everyone knows, is loaded with antibodies that he gets from the mother.
Yes,
that make him feel safe and not only safe but loved.
Yes,
not only loved but healthy.
Yes,
and they keep him from getting colds and things of that nature.
One would think.
Yeah. And so what we did, because we are intelligent parents, is that we waited until Jack was no longer breastfeeding to throw our oldest son into the Petri dish so that then he could come home and constantly infect.
Yes.
And it's funny how, like, the immune systems of at least my little ones, I imagine that every toddler is like this, that it's like their bodies are so, like, amazing, like almost like a Spartan. In that they can have a cold for a day and then bounce right back is what my kids have been able to do. And maybe there's some kind of upper level. Maybe they're just dealing with the first level colds and that they work their immune system up to like the stage 8.
Or you're very talented genetically.
I don't think so.
Because we have lingering snot in this house.
Yeah, see. Well, now we do because he's entered school. So then what happens is then it just becomes like a game of Pong of disease between the two of them. So it's like... Jacob, and then I didn't think this through because Jack's new favorite thing is to immediately grab Jacob's sippy cup when we pick him up from school.
Perfect.
And take a hit off
Perfect.
Of it. So, yeah, let's spread it around.
Perfect.
Why don't I shove it up my nose while we're at it? Let me get it
on. Well, I was going to say, you're at stage one.
Yeah.
Where you're worried. I loved your sentence of like, oh, they ping pong it back and forth.
Yeah.
Wait until they hit
the home
run.
It hasn't hit us. Yeah.
Wait until it levels all four of you.
My wife and I almost have like a panic room type button that when we are like that from one of the kids, then it's like 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C stat. Like, I don't know if that even really
go
works.
Get orange juice.
Yeah,
we don't care. You're throwing everything at it.
I don't care. I do. I start taking Dayquil even though I don't need it because if I sleep, I'm gonna be okay.
Honey, B12 in my ass right now. Get it. Get it out of the freezer. Glove up.
I don't know why.
Oh, God, I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being my partner. so that's and then poor Jack has gotten like, so what would happen is because Jacob's only going 3 days a week. So he would go, hey, we got to go do something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but
let's
do it.
Us to do something. But he would go and then he would. Come home for a day, get better, only to jump back in to come back sick again. Like,
sure.
That's what the past 2 weeks has been.
Yeah.
Which now Jack, he would get a little bit and then he would go away. But now he's going on 3 days straight of just not. And I can't do it because mine sounds like a deep man snore, but
sure.
it's a weird, creepy little, it almost sounds like a little troll or goblin that lives in your house. And then,
that I love.
And then, and
such
then,
a beautiful troll goblin.
As we have well documented on the history of this show, that I am a very caring parent, and that so in a moment of exhaustion, I'm trying to get that, you know, makeshift vacuum, like, which I think does not really do a good enough. I kind of want to do like a wood shop, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen this, or in a mechanic shop, they have those dangling hoses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But instead of it being to air up a tire or something like that, or to blow off your table saw.
Sure.
I want to get a suction vac on that thing. Just boom, take his sinuses out, clear it.
Just a snot shop vac. Pss, pss,
you know, something like that. It would make a pneumatic sound like a gun to make me feel manly.
Make you feel like you're doing something important.
Yeah. And then clear all his airways. Because I hate it. Like, you get in that thing and then he starts crying, which of course creates more snot. I don't know why Jesus or Mother Nature created this bullshit. But you're in there. And then you're like, okay. And then he goes, you hear that silent suck, you know? And you're like, yeah, I got you, boogers. And then you pick him up. I'm like, motherfuck. That was me last night, by the way. That was last night. My wife, I can't even remember what time it was. We had a date night. We had amazing love. Oh, my God. It was sweet. It was. Why did that not work? You son of a bitch. I want this. It was sweet. It was sexy.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
We may have even varied up some positions.
Shut up.
Yeah. It was like college people, I imagine.
Wow.
Have sex. Yeah. We're very Jesus oriented in our lovemaking. It's strictly missionary. Yeah, but occasionally, especially...
You need a book.
We double dipped. We double dipped. We did two nights in a row. I had a double header.
What?
Yes.
Let's play two.
I know.
Sex puck was on. Yes.
Boom. Green for go, bitch. So there was that. I don't know. I got lost in that corner right there.
I'm a little sweaty. I'm a little like, wow. Talk more. I haven't been laying down in how long. I don't even care.
So that's what it is. So I'm exhausted, and then cut to Jack wakes up of it, and then Natalie goes, can you get him, please? Can you get him? And so I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'm like, I got it. I'm all over it.
Sure.
I've got the endorphins of orgasm flowing through me to keep me awake. I might have said that word wrong. But anyway, so I go down there, and I suck him out, and I can't get it cleared, and then he's crying and stuff like that. And so she comes down to help me, and then inevitably now he sees Mom. And he wants Mom. And I'm like, no,
and
I got
you guys
this.
Just have sex in front of him to put him to sleep.
Yeah, it's like, get a load of this.
Yeah.
Welcome to the new preschool. There's no pre-ejaculation in this preschool. But there is
and
going to be
the wheels
a
fell
paper
off the
mache
box.
Project involving some DNA. Yeah, that did get a little weird there.
That did
I apologize.
Get a little weird. I took
soiled
it,
your quack quack.
As soon as I said it, I knew that was bad. Bad choice.
So anyway, long story short is I'm almost pinning my son to me, and he's like, ah! And I was like, why don't you just give him to me? I'm like, fine, here, take him. You know, and I'm like, how are you going to be mad at your kid when he's sick? Like,
very easily.
Yeah, evidently.
When you're sleep deprived and you're angry.
And then I wish I think of people, and I don't know, I don't think the people that listen to the show are that way, but I honestly think of people who can like have moments like that and just sleep like a baby themselves. Like, just
I'm
go
up, down. I'm up.
Yeah, but, well, no, I'm saying, like, I have this moment where I get angry at either one of them, and if I feel like I kind of snapped a little, then I can't sleep, like, and I feel guilty, and I
oh, no, that's why, not why I can't sleep.
Oh.
I'm just up.
You're just,
like, oh. And then, well,
do you have a window? Like, if you get 4 hours of sleep, then you're not going back down, or?
I think it might be that, yeah. Like, if I'm 4 or 5 hours in,
yeah,
and I get woken up, I'm up.
I can do that. I did, well, this morning I got up at 6 and just held him, and he slept on my...
Sure.
My chest, and which I'm sure is going to be a whole other fight now that we're trying to try to get him back into his crib.
It's so weird how we're blatantly at two different stages.
Yeah.
Because like Griffin.
Who looks way different, by the way.
He's big.
Oh my gosh.
He
it's
graduated,
only been like 3 months since I've seen them. But
yeah. He graduated preschool.
Yeah.
And the kid, when does kindergarten start?
He's ready.
He's like. It's kindergarten tomorrow. Let's go get my kindergarten shoes. Like he got his
shoes. I like
and the look on his face. And you go to these preschool graduations and you're a little cynical. It's like it's preschool.
Yeah.
He walking in the line, looking at us with this big smile on his face of accomplishment was so freaking awesome, especially from the kid I've obviously been battling with for his entire life. But he did a great oh, great job. And he's looking forward to school, and he's flipped his, language is getting a little better, so I feel good about that. His teachers are all raving about his leaps that he's taking and his progress, which is great. And also Brady, you saw the photo, but yeah. He's had two Cub Scout outings. And so we went to one, heat, dusty, but he's shooting bow and arrows. Not that one. That was another camp. Shooting bow and arrows, doing slingshots, BB guns from the dad who's like, yeah. No guns. And he's like, pa-ting, pa-ting, the hat backwards and staring down the range. And I'm like, all right, bro.
Covering your eyes like a horror movie.
Like, no! But it's just so weird. What I was like, because you and I have talked about, like, I almost pigeonhole him, like, he's going to be the sensitive one.
Yeah.
This kid toughed out the heat, especially this last camp was last week. And up here, it was like 104 degrees. They were at this camp. You know, and this one was, there was only one active station, which was the archery, which, you know, he got a couple bullseyes. He killed a couple balloons.
I wish you guys could see this picture because there's this awesome. It's especially awesome for me because, as I told Bill, my brother is a big time hunter. So he's got like pictures of him wearing a camo or a bright orange bandana,
sure,
and Oakley sunglasses. But he's got the Hulk Hogan mustache and he's like holding a bear cub up by, sure, a piece of rope next to him or something. Sure. You know, and that's the manliness. I've killed a baby bear.
Sure.
But I'm not anti hunting. I just think it's hilarious. But. And so it's like there's this like miniature version of that in your house of all places, which was funny for me
because
he's
weird.
Got the shades. He's even got the little arm guard,
yeah,
and the bandana. And
this kid, we would go to camp early to get in extra shooting. They would open the archery range. So we would go and the kid shot like three times as many arrows as other kids in the camp because he was just addicted to it. And I was just the point being, I wanted to not limit. Limit's the wrong word, but pigeonhole my kid. And yeah, like I said, he's going to be the sensitive one. 8-hour camp, 100-degree heat. The kid just amazed me. And for the last 3 days, Griffin went up there because Griffin got a taste of it. And then it was, are we going? He wants to be like his big brother so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. But he was doing just all this stuff and running around and carrying the flag and being a leader. And I was like, my little sensitive kid that I was worried about has totally grown into this confident, athletic. I mean, he's doing so. We signed him up for golf.
Wow.
Yeah. We were at the range and we introduced it at the range. White man's football. So what I'm finding out, here's what I'm saying, I guess for the purpose of your podcast, the podcast, you may not have a stick and ball sport kid,
yeah,
but now I've got to open my mind up to like archery and golf.
Yeah.
Like, my kid might do different sports that may not be considered rough and tumble athletic, but it's still...
No, I know. I'm sorry I'm giggling because it's just funny to me because the idea of playing golf is like I just imagine, like, you know, troubled youth get into football and stuff like that to get out of their neighborhood. So
right,
it's like golf and archery is what... I got to get out of these suburbs.
Yeah, man.
I got to find a better life.
Dad made me come home at like 9:30. He totally texted me at the Froyo place.
It's like bullshit.
That's bullshit.
No, I don't need a Jamba.
No.
I'm tired of your razzmatazz.
Why? What's wrong with you, Dad? Hey, Brady, you have a golf meet. It's a tournament, Dad. Shut up.
It's really cutthroat at this level.
Dude, how come I don't have a gap wedge? Did I ask for a head cover for Christmas? Or did I ask for a gap wedge? Yeah, my dad's a dick. So I just had to wrap my mind around that I'm not going to, or I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say I'm not going to, but it appears my guys might be like swimmers or golfers or do keep finding alternative fucking sports that I have to go wrap my head around and cannot guide them at all
right,
in,
yeah,
which I think is a trip. But.
Well, it is interesting because it's like, I mean, your wife is an athlete. She did like gymnastics and stuff like that. So they have it in them, but. It always seems to, the vibe seems to, like my dad was a builder, always was a builder, like that's what he wanted to do. So of course, I'm not interested in any of that as a kid.
Sure.
I like playing sports, even though I wasn't very athletic or whatever. So then he had to, like what you're doing, he had to find a way, like, which I think is great, that he like joined the board for the football team just to figure out how it all works. So he knew and he was involved in what I was doing, as much as I give him shit on this show for being an asshole.
But. Oh yeah, my dad coached basketball.
Not the best.
Oh, God. If I... I threw a basketball at my dad. Said, show me a jump shot. He'd throw it at my head. You know what I mean? Like,
jump that.
Jump that. You're supposed to jump, right? I took a shot at your head. You jump now. He said jump shot, right? Huh?
I like the idea your mom is the assistant coach.
Yeah. She's there. Dad, let's do the drills and score some touchdowns.
Yo, that's football.
I don't care. Not here, it's not. Goddamn round ball.
So he but he did it just because that's
just
what
to
you
be.
Were in?
I mean, yeah, just to be the involved dad. And God bless him.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, he knew a little bit about baseball, soccer. No chance. No.
Did you play? I don't think soccer was big when we were younger, was it?
I played soccer.
Really?
It was in the suburbs. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if it was big, but it seemed important to me.
Yeah.
So I had a handful of friends that played it, so I followed like the little wussy that I was, and then I played indoor soccer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you're a little older than me, but I felt like it isn't until like maybe the quote unquote generation after me, like people 10 years younger than me, soccer was huge.
There were waves.
Yeah.
I think there have been waves in the soccer phenomenon.
So you never did like Pop Warner football or any of that?
No, I didn't do football until high school. That was a bad mistake. Bad mistake.
Did you run like me to drama and theater?
I ran like a scared chicken. Like I was this height and like all of like 120 pounds.
Yeah.
So I was like the stick bug in Bug's Life, running a passing route. I'm open. I'm open. No, you're not. The dude's standing right behind you.
Flailing.
Out of here.
Turn into a Muppet.
Yeah.
Throw ball.
I was the smallest kid on the team, and I pudged out. Like, I always would pudge out and then hit growth spurts. And so we did this practice where the guy ahead of me, it was a small team. It was only sophomore year of football. And so the guy ahead, I was the second string outside linebacker. So the first string outside linebacker took a look at who's behind him. He's like, what do I have to practice for? Fucking LeVar Arrington compared to this fucking Oompa Loompa over here, little redneck with a shaved head. What the hell is this guy's deal? Seriously, just quit football and start chewing tobacco. That's your best bet, dude. And so he just ditched practice. And so Coach Severe, which is classic, right?
Hey, Worsham, yeah. There's a wrench.
Yeah.
What? Huh? I got to go bring this home to my dad. I'll be back. I'll try to be back before practice.
Coach Severe, Doug Severe, was this humongously morbid obese man who was the star offensive and defensive lineman of his generation of the Byer Patriots. And he put me in to prove a point when this kid came back to practice. And so just sat there and watched me just get destroyed. Because there was this kid, Kurt Nelson, who played tight end. And he was like your height and size now, but he's 16 years old.
What's interesting to me is none of these memories have stuck with you.
I know. It's weird, huh, that they don't. That
name,
they
name,
just wash
names, height, weight.
Well, it's very, I mean,
it was a 75 degree day. It was our third practice of the week.
If there's anything we've learned from NFL films, is that every down is like a car crash happening on that line.
Yes.
I wish I had the NFL. That would have been better. That was a story. Like, that's worth pausing it. All right, I found it. So the coach puts me in. See, this is so much better.
Worth the pause.
Imagine, I'm 5'6", 5'5", maybe 120 pounds, soaking wet. I'm a little pudgy dude with shaved head. Puts me in against, I'm guessing, a 6'2", 186-pound tight end. And every play is a sweet play coming around to my side. They're pulling guards. They're pulling tackles because who do they have to get the cutoff man? Worsham is the cutoff man. If you can get him and pin him inside, we got to route all the way around. Like Lombardi is drawing little pictures, only instead of a little, it's a lowercase x for me, is what I'm saying. And I just got destroyed to the point where probably about 15 minutes, they'd run the same off-tackle play right at me in a row to where he would just push me in the head. Like, he would try to pretend to block and just put his hands up like you would, you know, it'd hit my pads, and I would try to swim around him and flail around like this, you know, and then and so then he just got tired of it, just hit me in the head, and I would fall and roll in the ground. And this is like Northern California, so it's not even like nice grass. It's just dirt mixed with grass that I'm rolling around in. And then as I'm walking back at the end, practice is over, and I see the coach talking to the first string outside linebacker, and I'm walking by, and he goes, listen, you can't skip practice. You saw my option out there. You think I could put Worsham in there? He's going to get fucking killed. All right? I swear to God, those are his words. So there we go. That's why I found that thing. So that's when I said, I will join the theater.
I will become a thespian.
Dear Lord Thespis, find me the role of a lifetime, please.
Because the role of a lifetime in life is not outside linebacker on a sweep toss play.
Yes, give me a life where I tell dick jokes to drunk people around the country. That is us. It will be a great, great thing that I do.
Thank you, Thespis, for the Kalu bit. Thank you.
Kalu bit. Oh, damn it.
Dear Lord Thespis, thank you for the hugging my kid too strongly bit. It's awkward and uncomfortable, yet plays very well.
Resonates with the people of this fair nation. They like it. They love it. I don't know why, but that reminded me of this. I kind of have a bitch right now because we're in the middle of summer, and I think this is something that's happening to a lot of married couples around this fair country and now world of ours. We have listeners.
Getting global.
Yeah, we just added one in Australia. So so anyway.
Okay, since you said Australia, say raise up lights.
Raise up lights? What's that mean?
It's you saying razor blades in Australia.
I like that. Raise up lights.
Raise up lights.
Raise up lights.
Raise up lights. Right?
Why don't they do that? Why do we have to have dialogue coaches?
Kim found this on their fucking Pinterest. And she's like, say raise up lights. And so I'm sitting there saying it. And she's laughing and crying. And I'm like, what's funny about raise up lights? And she goes, it's razor blades in Australian. And I kind of hear it. But, I mean, she is literally getting the kick of her life out of this. She is sitting there crying at me saying, raise up lights.
You know what's even better? Is that people listening to this show are going to do it, too. And they're going to laugh. How miserable your life becomes. Is that fucking a stupid, you know, pun that you find on essentially whatever. The same thing. They go, okay, just say, I vacuum. Yeah. But don't talk.
Don't talk. Yeah.
Just move your lips. I say I and then spell the word cup. She's rolling. I see you pee. I don't understand. Rise up, lights. Well, my bitch is that it's the middle of summer and my wife, she put a blanket on top of our bed, like an extra blanket. We live in fucking Southern California. Let's not forget that she's also not sleeping on an ice pack. She's fully clothed and ready to rumble. And then added a fleece blanket on top of our bed.
We run the air conditioner at night.
No, are you saying you like that or
no? Well, I'm okay with it, but the point. Same point. Like, everyone's under full blankets. I'm like, well, why don't we not run the air conditioner
and
just have a sheet?
Yeah.
Just go with the thin sheet.
Just try that on for size.
Oh, that won't work.
That doesn't make sense at all. I need to be cuddled. I need to.
Yeah.
That's what my wife always says. I need to be succumbed in blankets. I need to have them.
And then I'm
me.
In the middle of suburbia, and I have the irrational fear that someone's going to climb in the window. So I don't leave my house open. Like, we could probably get a nice, great evening draft. I'm like, nope. People will target my home.
That's the first thing.
That's the first thing they do.
They see a lifted
window. They see a screen. They eat your children. They come in the window and eat your children.
Yeah, my wife loves to have the windows open. In fact, she likes to have the kitchen window open, which faces like the walkway in our apartment building.
Yes.
So she likes to have all that open. Well, daddy sometimes will come downstairs in his underwear, and then he looks around and sees the people that he's collecting rent from, you know. Looking at him in his half birthday suit. Because they don't see. Because of the window, it looks
hey,
like...
Hey, Ron, how's that pipe I tweaked, huh?
It's morning. It happens. What?
Eyes up here, son.
Eyes up. Eyes up. Don't look at the thunder stick.
Hey, say raise up lights.
Got to pay extra for this, sweet chicks. I fixed your plumbing. That's the only show you get. I already showed you a little plumber's crack, right? That's all you get. Eyes up.
So... But then immediately when the sun goes down, everything must be shut down. Like it's
that's kind of how it is
like
here.
Like it's a mall closed.
Yeah, like we're open all day. Yeah. And then it's like, all right, throw on the upstairs AC so the boys can sleep. And I'm like, why don't...
Like it's I Am Legend.
And it's one of those things where it's just like, I've tried to like start to fight about it. And then okay.
My wife wishes, I think, that I was married to someone like that where you start to fight and then just go... Never mind. get it.
You'll get there.
I think so.
Yeah, you're early 30s. What are you, 33?
I'm 33, yeah.
Yeah, 35. You'll shut it down.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very excited for
this. I give you 2 years.
It's going to make me feel more manly because it's very emasculating to go, no, listen, this is why you're doing this. Because your mother and your father set an example. That's part of your programming. Okay? That's your wiring.
You are going to Malloy, aren't you? Oh, my God.
I didn't need Malloy to tell me that. That I learned from Love Life.
This is part of your programming. Hey, just for old time's sake, you want a Disneyland story?
Yes. I didn't know you had. Oh, that's right. You went yesterday.
Went yesterday.
Oh, I'm so excited. Do you want NFL films music?
So Cars Land.
Oh.
Cars Land.
Yes.
Is an epic fail.
Yeah.
You have that. That was shut down for, I don't know, a good 8 months to a year, 6 to 8 months, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And they basically, now look, the downtown of Radiator Springs looks pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
But they basically put in there a tractor tilt-a-whirl, essentially.
Is like a broken teacup.
Like the Mater ride. Yeah, like a version of the teacup,
yeah,
essentially. And then bumper boats,
yeah,
which is Luigi's Tires.
Yeah.
And then
two food shops.
And then the thing, the Cars Racer, shit you not, they were quoting 2.5 hours in line.
It was 3 when I went, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
2.5 hours in line.
And to get a fast pass, you have to be there in the first 15 minutes. In the first 15 minutes of the day.
Yeah. The fast passes were gone. We got there at like noon 30. Yeah. No fast pass option. And it was 2.5 hours in line.
This is more like Suburban Rage.
This is Suburban Rage. But my point is this. I know people are like, God, I'd love to go to Disneyland. Yeah, I get it. But here's the concept of the story. It's Disney. It's a bajillion dollar company with the Disney Imagineers.
We're in a recession though, Bill. We're in a recession.
I was just, but you know what I mean? They built up the hype, boarded off, and you kind of get back there and you go, really?
Yes.
That's my point.
And I think also, because I think that until you walk out of there, like I think Tank actually posted something. We took Jacob on Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
I'll have to show you the picture.
Oh, I saw it fly by Facebook. Yeah. I think your wife posted it or something.
Well, I took
it. He looks horrified.
He looks so horrified.
He looks horrified. That's a parenting win moment right there.
It's only better because of the parents' sheer joy right behind the kid's terror, like in the picture. Like I'm like going, ha ha, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna die. Like
memories.
If I wasn't holding him down to that log, he would be trying to climb out of it. Like, get me back where the bunnies are. But but as soon as we got down, he wanted to go back on it again. Right. So anyway. But before that, he wanted to go on Cars Land because Kevin had praised that, oh, it's amazing. The ride is the most amazing. He said it's the best ride he's ever been on, which is great. But you have to 3 hours for what could maybe be a 15-minute ride.
But the point is, look, you and I could stand for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. But not who it's intended for.
Right. I mean, ding.
And that's what Kevin said. He goes, well, it goes by pretty quick. And then she goes, Natalie was like, for you.
Yeah. Have they had the baby yet?
No. Oh. Comes in September. Very soon. Very, very soon.
Oh, and I have to tell you about the newest marketing cash vacuum suck in this house.
Okay.
Skylanders.
Oh. Kevin has them all.
All of them?
All of them.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, we might as well. I really think
we're about 20 deep.
Toys
in a hurry.
Yeah, Toys for Bob may think about buying stock in my other podcast because it's like he fell in love with that instantaneously.
I have to say, it's in terms of a game for kids, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But as a parent, so if you don't know the game, there's a portal that you can buy characters. They're like $8, $9, $10 a pop, depending on where you get them. And you can literally pick the character, and when you drop them on this portal, then that character goes into the world. Great idea. Very cool. The levels are pretty easy to play for the kids. It's a good video game. It's safe, benign. You're killing trolls. Yeah. I'm on board, and I think my kids enjoy it, but that's... But where they get you is there are like 36 characters.
Yep.
So that's $360 minimum. Okay. for all the characters if you go full tilt. And then the game was like 60, like a normal game. And then there's the expansion pack worlds. Yeah. Like, they did it right.
They're coming out with a sequel to the game.
No, I know. A guy in the video game store. So I'm buying, I don't know, Ass Ball or whatever the thing is. And he goes, you know, they're coming out with Skylander Giants in front of my children. Yeah. Dad, can we get that? I was like, I looked at him, and he had that moment of like, oops. Oh, I'm in danger.
Yeah, I don't know what
like,
I just did.
I don't know what I just said.
I'm only 22, and I don't know what kids
look,
really
are.
Look,
I didn't swear at your kids. I don't know. Why are you glaring at me? Why are you sharpening your credit card and pointing towards my artery? What's
your deal?
What's your deal?
Old guy.
Hey, what's your deal, Dad? Arterial spray.
You just got
boys, take these Skylanders, run to mommy. Daddy loves you, I'll never see you again. I'm going to have to bury the cash wrap guy at GameStop. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't. Like, he was trying to get me. He was so excited he bought the game twice. Like, he bought it on eBay but couldn't wait. So he went to GameStop
and
bought it.
Are you serious?
And then he tried to get me to buy the game and then start collecting the Skylanders, too. And the thing about it is like, once you could reset them, like if he decides to resell them, but once you build up character attributes within each individual character, and so it's like that, and that, like, the idea is you're supposed to keep that forever.
Yes.
Like,
or I heard the big thing was you could trade them.
Trade them.
Somebody said, I don't know if it was Kim or the game store guy, was like, you could build up the characteristics, and you could say, I've got like a level 8 Spyro. Look at me throwing around the lingo.
No.
And some kid might go, I'll trade you my level 8 Double Trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm reaching into my memory banks to what happens downstairs.
You're doing good.
And the kids would trade them. The other interesting thing I heard about these things is if I have a PS3 and you have a Wii and my kid's friends with your kids, I could bring.
It's cross-platform.
Cross-platform. So I could bring my guys over to your place.
And then play.
And I could play my guys with my strength on your system with your kid. Yeah. Or my kid. You know what I'm saying.
It's a very clever way of getting more money out of a video game, I think.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about on the other show, but it's when you're the parent, this is what we don't talk about on that show.
Yeah.
When you're the parent of that child, it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
And then let me tell you how this all went down. I don't know how they saw this game. It was never in our family lexicon. I don't know where it came from.
I haven't seen any TV.
I haven't seen commercials. I don't know anything. We might have
to be other kids at school then.
Either other kids at school or we were walking. We might have stumbled onto it in the toy area. Walking through Target or something.
Yeah.
And they saw it. And then they see all the characters. And that's what happened. And Brady goes, can I get this game? When we got home from Target, can I get that game? And Kim and I was leaving for an audition. Excuse me, I'm congested. Hold on. And Kim goes, if you read this book, we will get. She incentivizes it, thinking it's going to take a week. Okay. I go into town for like 4 hours, hour drive, audition or two, and come back out. I'm not even home yet, and I get a call. I'm on my way to Target to get Skylanders. And I said, what? She goes, the little shit sat down and read a book. Like a Magic Treehouse book. His age level, like 70 pages. He sat there for like 4 hours and he read out loud to her. She's like, I want to make sure you're reading. He read like 65 pages out loud to her. And she's like, what do I do? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, I thought this would take a week. And she goes, me too. The little shit read it in a day. And then Griffin jumps on board. Can I get a Skylander? Well, if you do this, little shit goes and does it. God.
Yeah, I know there's got to be a way of different incentive. Like, that doesn't seem like it's so costly to us.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's.
And then I started to feel bad. Like, am I parenting incorrectly with sort of the incentive or bribery system?
I don't think so, but.
And then I looked at it and I was like, well, no, if you get good grades, you get into, everything's incentivized.
Yeah,
if you get good grades, you get into a good college.
Yeah.
If you do well in college, get a good degree, one would think you get a good job. Yeah. If you're good at your job, you get promoted. I mean, you get more money or you get a bonus or you get a raise. Everything, whether we realize it or not, is incentivized. And at least the kid read a book.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my fallback. I guess I paid my kid $60 to read a book. Shit.
You need to come up with a better exchange.
Yes.
Rate.
Well, that's what we said, Kim and I got home from this very thing. Because it would be like pass a math test and get like a Hero Factory guy.
Mm-hmm.
$12. So actually, this was a bump down. Maybe I should shut up.
Yeah,
this
is, yeah, it's only this $9.99 is down.
Yeah, it's like
$8.99
some of them are like eight. Yeah, yeah, they come down to $8.99. And Kim and I were like, we're like, it's got to be three or four math tests for a guy. You know, we have to change the structure next year at school.
Inflation's a bitch, kid.
Yeah. Hey, suck it up. Oh, guess what?
You're Reaganomics on your ass.
Guess what? I'm charging you rent for your room, too. Sorry. Times are tough. You don't see daddy on TV anymore, do you? Pay up.
Yeah, then that incentivizes him to find rent a cottage somewhere in West Hollywood.
Like, what?
I'm upgrading, Dad.
Dad,
I'm granite counters. Yeah.
Dad, I'm moving out. I started a business model online.
Mom, can I have these bar stools for my breakfast nook? What?
Here are seven. And then Griffin comes around the corner with his fingers on his lips. Mommy, I've made a tough decision. I'm moving in with Brady. What? West Hollywood bachelor pad.
Well, it's cheaper than knocking out the wall between our rooms. So we've laid it out. I talked to John. He's a contractor.
Yeah, here's our... John, how are you on the phone? No, I found him on the internet. We're not always on Lego.com, Mom. What? Dude.
Please tell Dad to start clearing his history.
Yeah. We saw some disturbing images. Excellent images.
Right.
But disturbing nonetheless.
Very high quality.
But I mean, high def is traumatizing, Dad.
Yeah. Not quite 1080i.
I mean, you know.
High definition traumatized.
I am vividly traumatized right now. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, because I do the same thing where, like, I made, because we were getting too much stuff. So I gave Jacob a job. And now he helps me with the job and he cleans the tables of the courtyard. Like, and by cleans, like, so I don't sound like Oliver Twist, you know, like, or Annie.
We all know.
Yeah, that he sprays the Windex and then I do it. And does he drink some? Yes. But
does he mainline a little Windex?
Yes.
With a little toy doctor needle?
I say get it out of his system now, you know, so he doesn't
tweaking
have
tweaking in the corner.
It's better for him to have a drug problem while he's still at home and safe where I can bring him down easy and kind
of... Peanut butter and jelly, there's a lot of bread. It's good. It absorbs it.
I mellow him out with some 409 and then top it off with some Simple Green. It's and he's back to
we call it an under the sink Yahtzee.
But no, so he does that, and then I, you know, and I still do the overly give thing where I told him, I said, I'll pay you $2 every time you help me, and then I kind of was like, oh, I'll give him $3, and then this last time he helped me clear the cobwebs in the parking garage. Yeah, I do. I tipped my kid, so I gave him $5, you know, that kind of stuff, and he has his own little wallet. And then whenever he gets paid, he immediately wants to go to Target and buy a toy. And then I go, well, you know, it'd be better if you saved it, but it's your money. You could do whatever you want with it. And that kind of gets us out of the, I want this, I want that, yeah. I want this, I want that. And I said, well, do you got enough money? But then Natalie has the put it on your birthday list, put it on your Christmas list or whatever. And
that's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
But then we...
Do you document it? I think this is hilarious. My wife posts a document like, here are the things my child desires.
No, I don't. I think it's mainly also for us a stall tactic, yes. So he'll forget about it.
That's what it's supposed to be, but my wife actually puts it in print. Like,
yeah, we never secure the document.
She stopped short of signing it in blood.
Yeah, it's got like a wax seal on it.
All I need is for my kid to talk to your kid. He's going to get him representation. I'm going to get fucking subpoenaed by his little brother.
What's hard, though, is now they have the steel trap memory.
Yeah.
You remember when you said we could get this? And I was like, that was like a week ago.
Yeah.
Well, you have to earn it. That's all we fall back on. You have to earn it. It's getting crazy.
It's getting expensive, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What pisses me off is Hero Factory lasted like a month or 2 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then you buy 12 Hero Factory guys and you think, I'm set. I get a break. You know what I mean?
I just love that this is what we're talking about.
But it's true.
I know, but I love it. I know it's weird because I host this dad podcast and I meet other dads. But it's very rare that like I get to have this kind of conversation with somebody where I feel like I'm kind of talking to myself. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, I got Hero Factory, guys.
Oh, you're
I like that you're in deep, though, too. Like, you know all the lingo.
Oh,
that if you did not shit out these kids, you would not have any idea what Hero Factory is.
No, no. And if you had the discussion.
It would be some like secondary reference for an improv scene.
I sit here and I have the discussion. Well, where is Serge's? I don't know where Serge's sword is. I found Serge's helmet. Oh, Furno was wearing Serge's helmet. You keep mixing up the parts, you're not going to be able to find Serge's sword. But, Dad, I don't know where it is. You're having a grown-up conversation, and you know the name of the character and his sword.
Yeah. Having meltdowns about the Avengers and all that.
Yeah. Oh. Avengers. Avenger Legos.
Oh, yeah.
Batman Legos.
Well, here's what made me laugh about your world is that Jacob watches some Cartoon Network now and Disney XD because they've got Ultimate Spider-Man. He likes that show on there. And then the Avengers is on there.
Disney XD, be careful.
Why?
Well, because they have all the commercials for the crap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and guess what? So he doesn't know what Lord of the Rings is, but he sees the Lord of the Rings Legos commercial. And he's like, I want that.
That's how my guys know the story. So we're coming out of Disneyland yesterday, and we walked by the Lego store because we told them we would.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a promotion in the store, or, you know, and Griffin goes, well, that's Gollum. And they go on Lego.com. So they are learning all these stories from Lego.com. Oh, look, Frodo. I've not once talked about Lord of the Rings.
Well, we've talked about on the show that Legos actually now makes more money off of their licensed Legos than just, like, remember when they just sold bricks? You would buy a kit to build just a spaceship thing? Like, and now nobody does that. It's all, and they're trying to make their own properties, but they can't. Like, they.
No.
And they almost lost the DC license, but they shelled out a shit ton of money to get that back. And
well, sure.
Because now they have the Batman, and then they're
The problem is Marvel and DC are corporate enemies is a strong word, but are corporately different.
Yeah.
So I'm amazed that Lego can carry both those licenses.
Well, they don't care because each of them are making a ton of money, and Lego's making money too. Like,
I'm just sitting here, like, I think I buy half this shit for the kids because I like it. And I think that's why I get upset when a ship gets destroyed. Like, do you realize how cool you have it as a fucking kid?
Right. Yes.
I had Lincoln Logs.
Yes.
And a plastic Tonka truck.
Yes.
And you have, like, you can create a world. Like, I got to see Star Wars in the theater. Yes. You literally can bring Star Wars home.
Yeah.
You literally can play with Star Wars. And yes, we had the action figures, so Star Wars is a bad example. But
No, but if you compare the level of what we had as kids to what each of our children have, you know, and I'm going to feel real, like a big asshole if, like, the people listening is like, our kids got like 6 toys. But I really don't think that's the world that we live in. I think because everything comes in for China and it's super cheap that it is kind of changed the culture of things that a kid can afford, no matter what your family income is, to have a shit ton of stuff.
Yes.
To the point where they don't really completely appreciate all that they
have. No, they don't, because there are Lego sets for every price point.
Yeah.
And you still get the guys. You can go buy a Lego set for $7 and build a little car with a little tree next to it, even the licensed guys. So I don't think it's a...
Yeah, it's not an income thing.
I don't think it's an income thing or whatever.
Everybody's doing it. And
we all want to... It's a... You want to give your... It's the standard story. You want to give your kids everything, because you want to do better, as horrible as it sounds, as nice as your parents were to you.
Yeah.
You always want to do better than they were.
That's the idea of life. That's the whole purpose. Yeah, I get that.
So if you get your kid a toy, and that's...
Is it better, though? Like, that's kind of
where
I am.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Everybody kind of hits that point where it's like, well, what the fuck? But then, here's what I did. Like, the other day, this is kind of my moment of the week or whatever, but, like, I just randomly went out and bought a Wii so that we could play video games together.
I bought the Wii way too... I think you bought it early.
Yeah.
I bought it early so it sits.
Yeah.
And now they're on the PS3 Lego games.
Well, he was wanting the Batman Lego game is what he saw at GameStop. And I was like, no, you can't play that yet. He could do, like, the PlayStation Move. That's what made me decide to get the Wii, because the PlayStation Move only has, like, one game that he can play. So I got, like, Mario Party, and I figured...
We've hit the tipping point with the Lego games, because it's... Here's the problem with Batman 2, because I got it for him after he did this week of camp in like 104 degree weather and basically manned up and impressed me. I was like, this is a camp gift. Probably didn't need to. As I'm sitting here bitching about it, I feed it. That's the other thing.
I hate so much.
Here you go, son. So, and my wife, and Kim called me on it. She's like, then stop giving him shit. That's a valid point.
That's a solid piece of logic.
But I love him.
Yeah.
Then shut up. It cost me so much. Then stop buying shit. Yeah. But it's cool and he's good and he reads. And, yeah. We're hitting the tipping point where some of the Lego games are 10 plus and they're fine. Batman 2 is a 10 plus and it's hard. and some of the Skylander levels too. Like,
yeah.
It ends up that we sit there as a family, which is cool because yeah. we try to limit it to a half hour. But I'll be doing, I'll take the controller to help, and then I'll look around, and Kim and I are playing the game. You know what I mean?
But are the kids watching, or are they all
they're,
doing their
no,
own
they're
thing?
Sitting with us. We're all yeah. sitting together, and yeah, it's you know have
there's
Batman.
Still
get,
a commu-
it's,
yeah.
it, there's still communication, yes. and sure, so it's sort of a family video game moment, yes. which is okay. But that's not the purpose. You know what I mean? I'd love the four of us do sit there while the boys are playing. I would just have it rather be that. You know what I mean?
Why? Yeah. Like, what difference does it make if you're playing? Like, to me, it seems more communal. Like, when we used to play video
because
games,
then it's,
everybody sat in a room and we all played together.
But it's still,
the online
because
thing.
This is going to sound weird, and because then it's their accomplishment.
I see.
I don't want to have them sit and watch me do the game.
When it gets hard, you
if you're
going to
learn,
them.
I mean, I'll say this. Socially, I think it's, I've said this before, I'm not crazy video games. And like I said, we limit it to a half hour. We've had some sessions go to an hour when we all get sucked in. And yeah. I've had to look at Kim and go, we got to turn this off.
What the hell are we doing?
It's been an hour. We got to cook dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I trust me, I get that happening. But if they're going to learn the dexterity and learn how to play the game so they can go play with their friends, they can't be over at their friend's house and hit too tough of a level and go, I quit. Like, my mom and dad aren't here. Right? Doesn't that defeat the... Then they're gonna. The kids are gonna look at him and go, "Dude, pick up the controller.
What are you doing?
I'm in here alone, man. We gotta get the ring to Mordor. Will you pick up your controller? Call Brady's parents. He can't finish level 7.
One ring to combine them. What are you doing?
What is wrong with you?
We're together on this. It's like we're married.
Brady's gotta go home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know that's a little probably extrapolating it too much, but.
That's what we do. Well, that's it. We did it. Now we got to wrap it up.
We made an hour?
We made it already.
Wow.
Well, it usually takes a little bit longer for us to close out, but I have fancy new. Well, here, I'm going to play this for you. This because I don't want you to think this is because you no longer do the show regularly, but this is because I had a super boring week in Indianapolis, and that's where all this stuff comes. But I want to play for this. This is a little thing that I have whenever. Oh, I messed it up already. If we ever want to do Suburban Rage, I have this always at the ready. I'm very proud of I must break you. That's about it. Listen to
that PTA bitch giving you the stink eye. The drive thru just screwed up your order. And your neighbor's Yorkie Terrier doesn't stop fucking barking. That's right. You don't have real problems. It sounds like you have Suburban Rage.
You need to go drop that back in right before I brought up Disneyland.
Yeah. Well, I was going to try to, but then I was like,
no, go back and edit it. Drop it back in.
I'm so happy because, like, I left the Naptime Radio promo in because I'm going to take it out because whenever I do the show with other people, they just kind of sit there and stare at me. But you and I were genuinely giggling while listening to the Naptime Radio stupid thing.
Those guys.
Same thing in Indianapolis. But did you get all any of your, do you have any other suburban rage that you have to get off your chest? I know you had said.
No, I got, I mean, that's, I'm good.
You're good? You feel
good?
You feel solid? All right, good.
I feel, it's, you're right. It sucks that I'm saying Disneyland because it's not like we live by a great America.
Yeah.
Like, and we're bitching, although I do live by a Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
And we're bitching about our local, you know, like, amusement park.
Like a carnival that comes through the parking
lot. And look,
lot
we're a Disney family, costume. And I love them. I think we're spoiled because it's local. But
no,
I,
you're right.
But
you
I was just sitting there. You go in there. Well, I'm not going to rehash it. But
no, here's what I was going to say is that I went in there, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so cool. And then you kind of look at it, and it's like a postcard that you get to walk into, but then there's not a lot of depth, you know, to it. It's like you can literally walk through it in less than 5 minutes. You know,
yeah.
And I don't know what I think I expect a little more with a you know, the amount of time that was spent on it. But I think most of the time is on that ride. I think when you go on the ride, you're like, holy shit balls, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But the ride takes 3 hours. And then there's this aspect of it that they do everything very well there. I really do think that they're really smart. Like,
hey, look, it's the I'll just say it. I've been to Legoland and Disneyland. Disneyland is a different level.
Yeah.
We're a Disney family.
Yeah.
But I think it's in the context of, look, if you did a house renovation and they blocked off your house for 9 months and this contractor was like, I'm going to make your house beautiful. It's really beautiful. I'm going to... And you came back
raise
in.
Raise up lights.
Raise up lights. And you came in and they changed the faucet and the toilet seats. Right?
Yeah.
You'd be like, seriously? I was living out of my house for 9 months.
It's not like automated where you're waiting.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what'd you do? I bought some raise up lights.
It's a dimmer.
Look, it goes to 11. Now with your lights are brighter. Raise up lights.
Well, so I walked in there, and then when the fight that I got into was, you know, Jacob was like, well, I want to go on Cars Land, because Kevin had showed him the Cars Land video on his iPad. So he's like, I want to go on Cars Land. So we go on, but I was like, no, we can't go on Cars Land because it's a 3-hour wait in line. And he's like, I want to wait in line. And I go, you think you do because you don't know what 3 hours is. I said, 3 hours is the entire time you're at preschool. I said, do you know how whenever I drop you off in the morning, you're like, no, I don't want you to leave me here. Well, that would, yeah. It would be the amount of time, you know. And then I'm kind of realizing that I'm shooting myself in the foot by making preschool sound super long. But when I'm dropping off at preschool and he's crying, I'm like,
you know, when
I'm
I take you
right back.
You know when I take you to hell?
Yeah. That's what it'll be like. What, Daddy?
What's your moment of the week?
Well, we have a new thing for that, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Don't say we. You.
No, we do.
You do.
Come on.
You do.
You shut your face.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
I like that. Huh?
Wow.
So my moment of the week I alluded to earlier, it's still in the same vein of Disneyland, is that we took we took Jacob to go down Thunder Mountain Railroad. He's tall enough now.
Yeah.
And what Kevin did was he helped us out where he gave us like he showed him all the rides on Disneyland on his iPad. So they sat on the couch and they were just playing together or whatever. And that took away any fear that he had, because Natalie is a big Thunder Mountain Railroad fan, wanted to take him on the ride, but when he'd see it speeding by, he's like, not doing that. Like, there's no Star Wars in there to get me into it, you know? But he's tall enough, and so Natalie took him, and I was a little afraid for him. I sat outside with Jack, and then they came, and he was like, Dad, you have to go on this with me. I'll post a video on the Facebook page, because it is pretty funny, is that what I did was I held my iPhone over the bar, because you have to wrap your arm around him because he's still small enough that I think he could get jettisoned, you know? So you kind of have to put your arm around him, and I held the phone so it showed both of us, and you see it goes black and white and everything, but you get to hear him giggle and laugh, and he's just loving it. And I pretend to be afraid. That's kind of our bit we do at Disneyland, and he loves it. He goes, like, you could tell when he wants to do it, because we were waiting in line for Peter Pan's flight, and he's like, Dad, are you afraid of Peter Pan? And I go, well, I don't think so. I mean, it's just a ship. I said, it's just a boat, right? Or I go, it's a ship. He goes, no, it's not. It's a boat. I go, oh, no, I don't like boats. And I go, and he goes, it's okay, Dad. It's okay. And he laughs, you know, and then I go, well, as long as it's in water, I'll be fine. Oh, Dad, no. It flies over a city. Like, he tells it like he says everything. I go, oh, no, I don't like heights. Who takes a boat and puts it over a city? Like, and stuff like that. And he goes, no, it'll be fine, Dad. You'll like it. So I go, no, I'm scared.
Cut to 15 years from now, are you two on stage?
Yeah. Who's on first, huh, son?
Dad, are you afraid of crowds? Who are all these people?
I don't know what's happening.
Do you remember when you watched Kalu?
Dad, you still don't know it, right? But anyway, so we go down Splash Mountain. We tell him about Splash Mountain. He sees it. He wants to go on it. So they do the thing where I think he's going to be able to sit in my lap. It's been at least 15 years or more since I've been on Splash Mountain. I keep wanting to spill this coffee so bad in your Quack Quack compound. But anyway, so we get through it. We're doing the whole thing, and it has a few dips. And it's funny because there are girls in front of us, and they obviously haven't been on it in a while because they're like, was that it? No, that can't be it. Like, they're doing that every time, you know? So then so it goes, and he's laughing, and he's having a good old time. But I can't. They make him sit in his own seat right in front of me. So then what I have to do is I have to be a seatbelt for him. Now, there's no training for this. Not that I'm saying there should be. I'm kind of being hypocritical because I'm like, you know, let's quit pussifying everything and toughen people up a little bit kind of thing. But
hold on a second.
What? No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hold on. I think we need seatbelts in this log
ride.
This
is ridiculous.
So I've got my feet. They give you these two little things for leverage, and I've essentially got him, but I have to hold myself in with my legs, and I've got him in. And so I'm going, and there's a little bit of me that's afraid, too. That's like, but I try to put on a tough face, you know. And he doesn't care. He's like, oh, da, 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 you know, we go. And then we take that fall, and I go, ah, we fall, and we hit the water, and the water splashes. He goes, I want to do that again, like as soon as we hit the ground. So then I leave, and then he goes, and I go, you want to go with mom? He's like, yeah, we got to do that again. Well, then I go look at the photo, and the kid, honest to God, looks like he was staring death in the face. Like, he looks petrified, like, just, like, it, not even crying, it doesn't do it justice. Like, he just literally looks like he had his, oh, fuck, I'm about to die moment at 4 years old. Like, and then as soon as he...
What's great is his life flashing before his eyes is diapers.
He has maybe two memories tops.
My life flashed before my eyes.
So then I didn't even get a chance to catch my parents having sex. But he goes, that's funny for a different reason. Because there was a moment that we had. I hope my wife doesn't kill me.
Finish.
I know. Well, let me tell this first. There's a moment that my wife and I had where we're in the throes of passion, if you would. And then you hear a noise and you freeze. Like, I don't know if you have had this where it's like, oh, shit. Like, no. Like a toddler's vision is based on movement, you know? And I go, what's wrong? Like, she stopped moving, and then I go, what happened? And she goes, I think I heard a rustle. And I, like, we both look towards the door. But again, we're so stupid and rookie. We leave the door wide open. You know what
perfect.
I mean? Yeah, it's great.
Perfect.
His door's right next to our, like, perfect. Shares a wall. It's perfect. Hold on. We got to pick that up. Live phone call coming in. Give us a call, 402-228-4911. So anyway, that's what made me think of that.
She'll and answer then, it.
No, she won't.
No, she won't.
She did. Oh, no.
Help me.
She's at Target getting more Skylanders is what's happening. Oh. So anyway, he goes with his mom, does the same exact face, you know. So she thinks it's hilarious. She posts it on Facebook. People are like, wow, you are ruining your child.
I did see it fly by. I didn't read the post, but I saw the photo.
And I came to her defense and said, here, I will post my picture, which has happened before her picture. So, you know, he was just as scared and still wanted to do it again. But it was just a lot of fun that he's kind of getting older and growing up and all that stuff. And we got to do the quote unquote more fun side of Disney now. So he likes going on star tours and all that stuff because he's now tall enough. And with Jack, it actually happened just as I was coming here. Is that kid, man, I've been thinking about you a lot because let me just know that there is constantly a disturbance in the force in my house now that I have two children. I want you to feel happy about that, that it has royally fucked up my life. And that
no wonder I've been at such peace since I left
exactly.
The show.
You're welcome. Because there have been more times than one that I'm like, I just want to kill both of these fucking little shits, you know? But I love them dearly.
Justin, why is the car running in the parking garage?
Always at a bug out face anytime.
Why is there a bag by the door?
Well, the economy could crash and I need to get out of here. So
Natalie, dinner's in the oven. Where are you? Justin? Justin?
I don't even shut the door. I rappel from the balcony.
What's humming? Does he have a teapot on? Is Daddy making tea?
Daddy's gone. Again.
He's been practicing rappelling all week.
He usually comes back in 15 minutes.
He usually makes it. We listen for the tap, tap, tap of his feet on the stairs. Let's listen. There's no tap, tap, mommy.
When he hits the ground from rappelling off the balcony, he kind of cries a little, feels bad, and comes back inside. It's okay, Mom. Can I have peanut butter and jelly? So anyway. But with Jack, he was crying all night because he was sick. And then he is like a fucking garbage disposal with food, this kid. This kid is a year old, weighs all of 25 pounds, I think, right now. Ate an entire fucking waffle for breakfast. I gave him half thinking that was enough, you know?
Oh, Justin. And then I do a box of waffles in 2 days.
No, you're talking about Eggo waffles. I'm talking about a full-size fucking IHOP waffle from a waffle maker. Yeah, at least a 6 to 7 inch diameter on this son of a bitch. And it's weird because you have these feelings, and I know it's supposed to be a moment of the week, but it's like, but it's like, fuck that.
This is anti moment of the week.
It is because there's a kind of a button. But anyway, So I cut it in half so that he can have half that I'm like, he's no way he's going to eat it. Now, his brother, who's got easily 2 feet and about 25 pounds on him, right? He eats like a corner of a waffle. Like, so that's, and then there's still plenty left over.
Oh,
right?
Flashing to your future.
So then
I want you to remember the waffle. The one waffle was a gateway. I just want you to remember this story.
Okay. So then, I'd already pre-cut because what Jack does, because he doesn't speak fucking English, is he, when he runs out of food on his little high chair tray, it's not like, you know, Jacob was raised by his mother, so he knows sign language. He would go, more, please, and like rub his chest and everything. And so the high horse that I used to ride upon being a better parent than my wife has evidently succumbed to some form of cancer or death or something. I think it was kind of hit.
Gone.
It was, anyway, I had to put it down. And it hurt when I fell because it was a very high horse. So I've learned that now what I've raised is a little tiny, like, Cro-Magnon man. Like, just... Like that's what he does when he fucking runs out of food. That's my life.
The
right
grunt
now.
And throw.
He just does that in a loop and points.
Then there's nothing that brings you to a peaceful parenting place than your kid hulking out.
About a fucking waffle when you've already given him half of a waffle. And you're like, I have to sometimes, so I could cook lunch for all of us and cook dinner, I have to throw Ritz crackers in a frisbee-like fashion to him like he's a fucking pigeon from the kitchen to the high chair. I'm like, please land on the tray. And then he's like, like he looks like a little fucking troll or goblin that we keep and that we caught from his spaceship that landed. The way you have to feed
the people under the stairs.
I feel like I have to... I keep expecting Christopher Walken to come in and take my child and go, I need this baby. This is the devil's baby. So, but anyway.
Keep feeding the baby crackers.
Have you tried a waffle?
Crackers are not as filling as a waffle.
Well, that's the other thing. He'll eat an entire container of blueberries. He won't eat meat, but he'll eat blueberries. He'll eat like almost an entire sack of grapes, and you have to cut him in half so he doesn't fucking choke, and you can only give them to him three at a time because he's only got four fucking teeth in his mouth, Phil. So he's sitting there going, oh, and then he just randomly, he keeps shoving him in his mouth like he's never seen food. Like he's Tom Hanks coming back from Castaway or some bullshit, you know? And he's just shoving these grapes in his mouth, and then occasionally you're just like, okay, it's quiet. I'm about to make myself a meal.
I just want to interject that the moment of the week has changed.
Maybe I'm trying to get it all in.
I don't know.
Before I have to say goodbye.
I don't know.
But he will shove grapes, and then you're sitting there, and then all of a sudden you hear, and you're like, fuck, and you turn around. And you have that moment where you're at the ready, and you're like, okay, if you're fucking choking, you got to turn blue or something, because I'm not going in there, because what if I shove it in your airway, you know?
Oh.
And then he does the thing, and this is what I love, that even though he's a year, and he can't fucking shit in a toilet, he can't fucking sleep all night, he understands the psychological fucking mind game of looking at me and going, like he knows that
he knows you'll come running.
Yeah, he knows how to like look me in the eye and go, I'm still not there yet.
The raptor learned the noise to lure the prey.
Clever girl. So anyway, so that was my morning, right? I'm trying to make waffles and Natalie's trying to sleep in because today's her day off. And there were a couple times or two I was like, I go, Jack, I gave you half a fucking waffle, man.
You're talking to a 1-year old. Literally nothing has changed.
We're not talking. We're both yelling at each other. So Jacob sits down to eat his waffle. He's already down half a fucking waffle. He can't even let his brother eat his food. He's pointing at his brother. Pointing at it. And I'm like, that's his. That is his food, Jack. I can't.
Oh, man.
I'm making mine. I can't give you. And so then I made another fucking waffle and gave him a corner. And that was what he needed. I gave him half of it. So he eventually polished off an entire waffle and a mozzarella cheese stick for breakfast. That's his world. That's what's going on. So I'm a little frustrated and everything. And then I know I'm coming here. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be a lot of fun. Natalie takes Jacob to preschool. So she's loading up the kids. And it's just funny because, shockingly, both of my children are very loud speakers.
What?
Yeah, I know. So
I don't understand.
I constantly am having to tell Jacob, Jacob, you are yelling in my face.
My wife left the house with the children.
Just too loud. So anyway, so we're getting ready. Natalie says, Jacob, go tell your dad bye or whatever. And then she goes, okay, we're going to go to school. And Jack knows how to say bye now, but he doesn't go bye-bye or anything cute, baby. He goes, bah! Like it's not even bye. He just goes, bah! Like a sheep that's been stunned, you know, like a taste.
Bah!
Like it's just... And it just fucking echoes. And that was my moment, is that we had all this thing, and then both of my wife and I just kind of buckle over laughing because he's just so fucking adorable. With his, bah! Like, it's just loud as shit. Bah! Like, he's just like, he's what I imagined Sloth looked like when he was a baby.
But that's, those moments save their lives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know. They have to know. Otherwise, yeah, that's how you get ditched.
Yeah.
Or that's how Daddy gets in the car that he's already got running.
Yeah.
So that half hour was brought to you by Stitcher, my moment of the week. Now here comes Bill Glasses.
I hugged my kids. Let's get out of here. mine are quick. My moment of the week with Brady is to come downstairs or come around the corner. We've gotten pretty good in this house of turning off the TV. Mm-hmm. And you'll wonder because it's quiet, you don't hear them playing. And I'll come around the corner and Brady's sitting reading a book.
Wow.
And Griffin will join him.
I didn't mean to say, wow, like that's like,
but it is
from my world to yours. There's just enough of that gap where it's like, it looks like you're Britain and I'm Louisiana. Like,
no, I don't know how it happened. I mean, his mom is a reader. We've said that we wanted them to be readers, but I'm thrilled. And I don't know how to like pour water on this garden because it's not like we say, go read.
Yeah. I think that's how. I think by not making it an ordeal. That it helps.
Because I'll come around the corner and Kim's on one corner of the couch reading on her iPad and Brady's reading his book.
Nook.
And yes, his Nook. He's typing code. He's writing his own book.
Can
of Fire, whatever it is. He's reading his actual old-timey book with paper. And Griffin's sitting there and Griffin wants to be him so bad. Griffin will be looking through like a Ninjago book or, you know, one of the lower level books. He's not reading, but he's acting like his big brother.
I like the idea of it being like a magazine. I'm going, I'm like,
hey, Brady, did you see that?
These plot lines are amazing.
And my moment, it's not one. Griffin has started. I think Griffin can sense my frustration sometimes. And out of nowhere, he'll just walk up to me and he'll go, I love you, Dad. Like he, and it has the tone of kind of, sorry, I was arguing about like that. It's got a very adult tone. Like, it's almost like I know I push your button sometimes, but I love you, Dad. It's got that. I mean, literally it's got that much subtext and tone into it. Like, I love you, Dad. He'll look at me like, you know that, right? I'm just doing my job to shit in your coffee. I mean, I'm five. It's what I have to do.
Like, it's the sheepdog and the coyote cartoons that they punch out. And
yeah. And so it's just the random kind of like, you know, I love you, Dad, even though I'm here to, like, you know, poke you.
Make your hair fall out.
Yeah. Make it. Yeah. Turn you gray.
Stress eat.
Yeah. Stress eat. Look, I know you've gained 20 pounds since I arrived. Okay. 30. But I love you, Dad.
For me, it's been worth it.
Yeah. To watch you expand brings joy to a 5-year-old's heart, Dad.
That's what I call job fulfillment.
Hey, Dad, you want Five Guys? I know you do, fatty.
Thanks for helping me meet my quota. Well, there's our moment of the week. That's the show. You can always give us a call.
I just wanted to tell you something before you plug stuff.
Yeah.
It's great that since I left, you immediately jettisoned the logo. You immediately reproduced like segment lead-ins. You immediately upgraded from the tinny acoustic intro music to the da-na-na. Like, why don't you just tell me to leave like a year in? It's like you are waiting to like erupt your creativity.
No, that's
you're a liar.
I'm not lying because I knew this.
You got home and you went, Natalie, he stopped.
I'm gonna be honest.
I'm gonna be up in the room for 4 hours.
I gotta be honest.
You know, Lady Stitcher. Yeah, it's my macadamia now. Now it's a show.
Here's what happened. Here's the honest to goodness truth.
I don't care, and your listeners don't care.
I knew when all this was made, and I said, if Bill ever comes back on the show, now it's going to look like this. I thought it when I did it.
Looks like it. It is it.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Listen to me, young man.
There's no listening.
So here's how it happened. So when you left the show, like,
we can talk about this often.
No, it's funnier for the people listening. They like this. They know that you poked the bear on purpose. So now you got to deal with its wrath.
All right, get loud.
Here it comes.
Hold on. Hey, hell, they like this one. I'm leaning back.
So honest to goodness, what happened was is that I was like, I wonder if I do, like, if I'm trying to rebrand the show, right? Like, if it's trying to, if I wanted to hit, like, a real refresh button. Because here's the thing. People who have been listening to the show from before you left the show will notice that, I guess how did I want to put this?
It's gotten better.
No, that's definitely not it. That's definitely not it.
Yes, look at all the production value.
No. They noticed that there was a shift or a transition or whatever. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to start from scratch, that's what it was. If I'm going to start from scratch is what I thought I had to do, and I failed miserably because a lot of people, because I left bonus episodes that were up there. So a lot of people were like, who's this Bill guy? I don't understand. So I had to create a new episode that says, the history. It's almost like the Abe fucking Lincoln exhibit at Disneyland. The history of the Dad Podcast.
You did not.
I did. I had to. Because people are constantly going, I don't know who this guy is, and why is everybody? Why is there a Facebook shrine built to him? No, I'm kidding. But so then,
finish the show. This has got to be like an hour and a half.
No, it's not. It's almost. We're good. Come on, people like you. I know you already want to leave. You haven't done the show in fucking 3 months.
I'm done. I'm done. I don't care. I was poking you because you have good. You did a good job.
Well, thank you. Well, it's not a good job. Is that so? Then cuts it with the fact that I had 3 weeks on the road, and by week three, there's only so much you can do, and I couldn't hook up my PlayStation in the hotel I was in. So I was like,
poor suburban. I had suburban rage.
No, here's what happened was I go, you know what would be funny, since I have these drops that I made from the Naptime Radio Ladies, is that what if I just made a commercial for their show? Because in the transition, I forgot to plug their show. So I made that, and it made me laugh. And I'm like, well, why don't I do this for each of, like, the quote-unquote kind of segments that we have? So I made the moment of the week. I'm like, that's pretty funny. I like it. Now, here's the thing. Also, audience of one.
I was going to say.
I am very good at reassuring myself.
Yeah, you're telling yourself.
For somebody who's very hypocritical and erotic. And if I'm alone in a hotel room in the Midwest,
that's
feel
funny.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
That's pretty funny stuff. So that's how all of that happened. And then, so I was like, I was trying to think of a new theme song. And so I went through and looked at it. I didn't even know this, but that entire time, that what we had of the theme song was Pounder's demo that they were sending out.
Even I knew that.
I didn't. Well, I knew that, but I didn't know that they had made a studio cut. Like, there's even a different cut from the video. Because remember, they made a music video of our theme song. Like, not because it was us. Like, they don't even. I know the drummer knows, but I don't think the rest of the band knows it's our theme song.
Awesome.
So we could get a cease and desist. But anyway. So I went through and I was like, well, I'll add Chasing the Sun so I could kind of compare tonally to see what it was. And then I found this other remastered version. I'm like, well, there we go. I said, then it's different, but it's still the same. Because I've had people that, like, they say when they hear the song, it kind of makes, it puts a smile on their face, which is weird, huh? Would you have ever thought when we started doing this that something that simple would be like, oh, by there are people that it brings peace to hear us bitch and moan about being dead. It cracks me up a lot.
I frankly am amazed that anything good came out of this.
A lot of good came out of
it. Yeah, people enjoy you.
Especially this right here. No, they enjoy you, Big Daddy. Don't get yourself too low in that.
Well, thank you so much. I'm still not coming back.
Okay. All right. Well, we tried, guys. We did it. That's it. Wrap it up.
Hey.
Stay frosty.
Call me in a month. Call me in a month. Build up a month full of Disney rage and archery problems.
please continue to spread the word.
So then a kid steals an arrow out of Brady's quiver.
What the fuck?
I mean, at archery camp.
That's bullshit. That's going to be next week. That's a little bit of a teaser that we threw in there for come see us in September.
Yes.
Help me spread the word. All that jazz. Amazon banner. You know the drill. JustinComedy.com for all my stand-up dates. On behalf of my good friend Bill Glass, this is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.